The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you ever wish you could ask your data anything at any time? How are sales this quarter? How is a specific marketing campaign performing? How is the overall health of the business? With Domo's AI and data products platform, you can. Domo lets your team channel AI and data quickly, securely, and innovatively to deliver measurable insights wherever and whenever you need them. Anyone on your team can use Domo to prepare, analyze, visualize, automate, and distribute data amplified by AI. Domo goes beyond productivity. It's designed to transform your processes and drive real growth, powered by trust, flexibility, and years of expertise in data and AI innovation. Data is hard. Domo is easy. Learn how Domo can help you make smarter moves faster at ai.domo.com. That's ai.domo.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is Tom. Or robots, and Lotus is here, but also our patrons, because it's the end of January, and we were hoping for an Oblivion remake announcement that never happened, but we still have our thoughts about what we want to happen or what we would like to see in an Oblivion remake or in Skyblivion. And Rob the Princess is here, too, who has worked a bit on Skyblivion, which is fun because we got a little bit of inside knowledge. He's going to spill all the beans on all the secrets. No, he's not. He's definitely not going to do that. No pressure, Rob. Don't share anything you can't share yet. But welcome back, everybody. We've got Ben of Temeria, Blinding Vision, and Falcon, along with Rob and me and Lotus. Lotus, how's it going, man?
Things are good.
Are you excited to talk Oblivion stuff?
Yeah, I'm interested in people's thoughts on this because you luckily stopped us before we started the podcast, because it seems like we already have some interesting, differing opinions.
Yeah, so this is one of the phrases that Lotus and I and other podcasters use. There's this habit you have once you get everybody ready for the show where you start talking about the thing the show's about. And then at some point, somebody has to stop and go, wait a minute, are we doing the podcast before we do the podcast? Why don't we just save this for actually recording it? So we had to put a pin in the stuff we were talking about, which we will eventually, during the show, be recapping and discussing with everybody so that they can listen and hear our thoughts. But here, let's kick this off. We've got a small group this week. The expectations, or at least the hopes, were that the Bethesda or Microsoft event that happened like a week ago was going to sneak in a little Oblivion remake or remaster announcement because that's been the big rumor. But it seems like that didn't happen, obviously. Otherwise, we would be like, oh, it's happening. So there's some speculation. Is this still something they're working on and they're just going to announce it maybe in June because Bethesda likes to do that? And then maybe this will be like a big release for the fall because last year they had Starfield and maybe Bethesda wants some other big popular game to put out. This would be a kind of a big thing people would get excited about. So maybe they're waiting for that, or Lotus seems to have the opinion here that this is just smoke and mirrors. There's really nothing to see here. It got canceled or it never was actually moved along in any real capacity. And we're all just kind of hoping for nothing at this point. So let's start talking about that. Let's start with that. And then we'll move on to the, well, if it is a thing, this is what we want. So,
all right. I can just throw out quickly like my, so it was in the leaked documents during the whole trial thing with the fighting over the acquisitions and Sony throwing tantrums and then
Microsoft
everybody saying
and all that,
how poor they were and we can't make any money if we don't buy all these things. It dragged on for a very long time. But in and amongst some kind of like comical blunders with the court case, like they would put things forward and forget that like you have to Sharpie them out properly. So
right,
when they
become public.
Them, they just were visible. So you saw all this like classified information and things. It was quite ridiculous and pretty entertaining. But one of the things that was listed was an Oblivion remaster.
Yes. And it was back in 2020, something like that.
Yes, I think it was 2020. It's been a while.
Yeah, it was scheduled to be like 2022 or 2023. But then everything else that was scheduled in there kind of because of the whole pandemic thing got pushed back a few years. So some of the hope was, well, it's 2025 now. If everything got pushed back about 2 years, then we're in the window for when that might be launched, if that really is a thing.
And my theory is, yes, I totally think it was a thing, followed by I think it kind of got scrapped by the wayside and they really haven't done much with it. I think people probably have taken some of this information and run with it. You and I have talked about the fact that it seems like most of the sources for this, because it's like, well, it's a remake and it's in Unreal 5 and all these things, they seem to all just be quoting each other.
So yeah, there's only like one or two sources that everyone just keeps pointing back to. So it's not like there's more and more information that comes out.
So it sounds like there's a lot of sources, and I think there's actually only a few.
Right.
Which, I mean, hey, I could be wrong. Maybe this thing is getting created, but it just seems like this was a project that was meant to happen and then has fizzled. And I think for the sake of, we'll be talking about Sky Oblivion on the horizon, I'm not sure optically they want to come out against Sky Oblivion personally.
To be compared, because if they don't match up, that's going to be a problem.
And if it's the fan-made project makes your project not look as good, that is not what they want. After several kind of rough years from and rough releases from Bethesda, you can like them or not like them. I love 76. Starfield was fine. Those games were not these knockout successes that we were getting with their previous projects.
Right.
Having their remaster get outshined by a fan project would be not good.
It would not be good. But
I think people will be nicer to the fan project just because it's
lower expectations.
Lower expectations, and also a little more of, hey, they're part of the gaming community, not the big bad corporation.
So just a place of gratefulness rather than a you didn't meet my standards.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So that's kind of my theory on why this is not a thing.
Right. I totally get that. And Redbeard Ninja in chat says, wasn't Fallout 4 announced like 6 months ahead of its release? Yeah. If Todd Howard had his way, he would announce things and then just put them out right away.
Correct.
And he would avoid the whole marketing window thing. So that could be part of it. Is that we're just not close enough to the actual release date for them to want to do the marketing push yet. So there's a lot of variables here. Now, Rob, you had some thoughts about Lotus's thoughts in the pre-show. Do you want to chime in?
Yeah. So, I mean, Lotus was saying that, like, he hopes that if we were to get both, that we do get both. And I was like, I wouldn't want both. And because Lotus's main point was that consoles are probably never going to get Sky Oblivion, so we might as well get an official remake from Bethesda. Therefore, we would actually be able to expect that on consoles. And yeah, there's definitely a merit to that argument. I wouldn't say that's an unreasonable point to take. I just think that the amount of work that has been put into the project already, it would not be unreasonable to think that we wouldn't be able to go a few more extra steps after the release and see what we can do to get that onto consoles. But then there's like the Microsoft legal mumbo jumbo than all the extra hurdles that it takes to put things onto console. I know with every game, there's always a bunch of extra delays whenever you try to get an update onto console as opposed to PC. PC, it's just online when you post it, mm-hmm. and consoles take forever. So yeah, that could definitely be a hurdle, and maybe it's enough to stop it. I just wouldn't count that out yet. I think we're too early in the game to count that out, and therefore I would see no reason in wanting an official Bethesda remake when we've already seen all of the work that Skyblivion's done, and I don't expect them to put more effort into that than what we've seen so far, because it's been tremendous what they've done so far.
Right. So, okay. So, and you're speaking from a point of actual real experience, because you've been working on this project for a while.
Yeah, and I don't want to overstate my position on that. I am like at the bottom of the totem pole. I have been involved in that process. I know the work that they're doing in there. I don't know the details of the work they're doing. I do know the hours and the amount of time that they put into it, because I see them like on their group chats, and they're just working hours and hours together. And I'm not doing that. I'm not a hardworking member of the group. I did a few months worth of nav meshing, and I just try to shout them out as often as I can because I love the project. I love the people, mm-hmm. but I'm not as noble as the hardest working people in that. So I just want to put some reference sure. on where I stand.
Right. Expectations around it. You're not like the yeah. person leading the program or anything.
Yeah. I helped out for a few months, and I'm right. still in the circle a bit.
Right. But they have been updating and putting up videos that show, like, they showcase specific zones, some of the new features they've added in, things that they've revised, plans for moving ahead, asking people, hey, if you have experience with modeling or nav meshing or whatever, we'd love to have you on board. And if you don't have experience, we can train you with these certain types of things. So there have been some regular updates, and it is very impressive. It is coming along, and it is most of the way there.
And it looks so good.
And it looks so good. Yeah, I mean, it really does look very, very good. So I get the idea of Bethesda not wanting to, like, seeing where it's at and going, okay, if ours is not head and shoulders above this on some quality or in some way that you would expect an actual developer to deliver, then maybe we just cancel the project at this point. What do the rest of you guys think? Anybody else have any thoughts on this? Do you guys expect there still to be both of these, or do you think they're going to pull out? Ben?
So is this a remaster or remake?
So the original rumor is that it was probably a remaster, and the more recent okay. rumors have come out and have said things. Somebody in particular, I can't remember the specific source's name, but one of the more reliable sources said, no, this is actually more like a remake. They've put a lot of work into this. They are adding more than you would expect. It's not just
changing the combat, supposedly.
Right. Like, it's not just here's some higher textures and here's better lighting, you know.
I don't know how much I would believe them doing I can see them doing a remaster because they can just touch it up, mm-hmm. port it over and whatever to the new UIs or for the mm-hmm. whatever consoles. But a whole remake is a whole under development.
Well,
when, you know,
well, let's define
fix, supposedly.
Let's define remake. So the rumors okay. have also stated that the underlying engine is still the same engine.
Okay. That so it's not top like a new of
that,
game engine.
It's yeah, okay. it's a combination of the mechanics that work underneath the systems, like driving the daily cycles of the NPCs and the ability to drop things and pick them up all over the place and all the things that you expect from a Bethesda game. That underlying system is still the Gamebryo engine that was there originally. But on top of that, there's been improvements with Unreal 5, and it's the two kind of working together synchronously. So okay. the improvements yeah, are coming from the
interesting.
Studio. It is an external studio. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's where that was not where them. I was going to get to next, because if it's Bethesda, like, that's a whole.
Yeah. No, I forget the name.
I can't
of the
see
studio.
Us ever seeing it.
I can look it up while we're there, so people don't need to scream at their radios.
But it is an external studio that supposedly is doing this.
I'm an optimist. I mean, I would like to see this, but how realistic is it going to be? I don't know. I mean, I can see a remaster, obviously, because that's not that hard to do as for a port. But yeah. a full, like, yeah. undertaking of adding new layers to it that it didn't originally have. I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, if we do see anything about it, it would be, I would say, yeah, the June area, because, you know, Bethesda likes to put things out in the summer.
Yeah, the announcements in the summer, and then the releases in the fall. Right. Yeah.
We have Jeff Keighley's Games of Summer or whatever the heck that he calls it every year.
Jeff Keighley part one of the year, Jeff Keighley part two of the year.
Yeah, pretty much. With the summer and the winter.
Yep. So, Lotus, what did you find?
It looks like the name of the studio that is rumored to be the team remaking it is called Virtuous Studio.
Okay.
That's the name of the studio in question. And as far as I can tell, take this as, like I said, I feel like a lot of this was just reporting on other people who are reporting on the same thing. Supposedly, the first leak was made by MP First, which I've heard of them before. They used to give me my Call of Duty rumors when I played Call of Duty. So,
yeah, they're one of the sources that has kind of a solid reputation. Maybe not 100%, right. but fairly enough to pay attention to. Right.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. So just giving context to those parts of it.
I have some insight. This is possibly just fogged up by my memory, so I hope I'm not misspeaking here. But back in like 2020, the Sky Oblivion project had been picking up quite a bit. And I remember watching some of the interviews that Rebel Size was doing, who's the leader of the Sky Oblivion project. And he was talking about the process that he went through with Bethesda to make sure he wasn't stepping on the wrong toes. And in that process, and I'm going to try to quote, but I, again, I could be fogged by memory. This was 5 years ago, or I guess 4.5 years ago. But the interview, that he stated that he asked if it was like if he was allowed to do a remake of Oblivion and what legally he would need to worry about, and if that was stepping too far, if they were already planning on making a remake of their own, he wouldn't want to waste all of the years of effort that it would take. And so he was like, so please tell me now and I'll just back off if that's something you guys wanted to work on. And they said, no, go ahead, we have no plans of remaking this game.
And that discussion was 11 years ago.
Right.
Yes. So this is your memory from hearing this 4.5 years ago about a discussion that happened 11 years ago. So,
well, the discussion, I don't think what happened at the beginning of the project, so I don't know if it was 11 years
ago.
It
was once the project was in. So I have no idea. This is going to be really funny if this is the case. I have no idea if this is the interview you're referring to, but if you go to my YouTube channel, Lotus of Doom, or listen to it on our podcast, we actually have that interview where he goes into all this.
So he's done an interview with you guys. That's the one you're thinking of. He's done another interview back in 2020.
Yeah, he's done a few with like major outlets as well. Yeah. So you might be thinking of that. But yes, If you need easy access to it, I've got one on my channel, or if you go to Tales of Tamriel, that's where it's from.
I think the pertinent information there, though, is that conversation happened before this leak happened, showing that this was on their list, which means at the time, Bethesda probably didn't have any plans to do a remake.
Right.
And who knows if this person they talked to, like, was...
But then the question begs, why would they go and create this idea of, hey, let's remake Oblivion after it already been well established that a group of fans have been putting years
I can answer that question because
Man wants to make money,
right? Because somebody at ZeniMax goes, okay, well, we need to fluff our portfolio of potential things in order to get this Microsoft thing to go through. What can we throw on there and just go ahead and get started real quick to prove that we've got stuff coming? Well, let's do a remake. People like remasters, right? Let's do a remaster of Oblivion and Fallout 3. We'll put that on there too. And so you throw that stuff on a list and you confirm it because, oh, we've got this outside studio working on it, and who knows, maybe they invested, you know, a few thousand bucks to get this started as a project in order to woo Microsoft. And maybe, to Lotus's point, that's all it was, and it's not actually going to be anything because it was just a way to get the purchase to happen.
I would agree with that, but there's no real substantial idea that makes sense, because money is not an answer that makes sense to me.
Well, money,
and I mean, sure, these people make stupid choices,
but these are corporations. Money is the reason they do everything.
If money was the answer, it should have been a profitable idea. This is not a profitable idea, is my point.
But
because
how do you know?
The fans are already doing all of this, that it's going to detract from the profit that you're making because there's all of this other attention on this similar project. That's not a profitable idea. Now, stupid people make stupid ideas, so maybe it still was conjured up as a hopes to make money, but I don't know.
Let me play devil's advocate on this.
Fans will not get the mod. There are going to be, you know, thousands or maybe more that are interested in getting but are like me and playing on console.
Well, here, let me.
Mod's likely not going to come to.
Right, there is that. So Falcon has a point there. Let me jump our brains back 5 years. We go back 5 years. How many of these large scale mod projects actually launch as of 5 years ago? Like none.
Yeah, I was going to say
almost none of them. Maybe Enderall. Like
that's
was
the only one.
That's
I can think
the only
of.
One, and that didn't keep people from buying Skyrim. In fact, it got more people to install Skyrim to use the mod instead of actually buying Enderall because you could run the mod version. In the minds of the people pulling the purse strings 5 years ago, they're like, "Oh, well, there's this little group that wants to that's been working on this remake. It's been restarted at least once, maybe more than that. Who knows if it's ever going to start or if it's ever going to work?" And then somebody in the budgeting office goes, "Well, we have the rights to do this, so we should just do it. Who cares?" Right. And maybe somebody in the studio is the other voice of reason who goes, "Yeah, but maybe the fans won't like that idea. Maybe, you know, maybe we should let the mod people do it." But then the person pulling the purse strings goes, "Yeah, but if we do this, we get the Microsoft buyout. We all cash out. We all get to retire, whatever. Let's just do it."
Well, sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Here's the thing, though. Do you guys know about the studio that's supposedly doing the remaster? You ever heard of them before?
Yeah, Lotus just mentioned the name.
Oh, the Virtuous Studios?
Yeah.
I don't know about Virtuous.
Do they have a history of game releases?
I'm not sure.
I can look it up in the meantime.
Valid question.
I almost wonder if there's... I don't have any connection to the Sky Oblivion project. I did more Oblivion way back when. I played Morrowind on Oblivion's engine, but who's to say that they haven't been in contact with Bethesda long enough?
So these are all
to be a port studio of sorts.
All right, so here's a list. This is from their website, Virtuous Studios, virtuousgames.com, our services / game development. These are all games that they've done something with before. Have worked in some capacity as like an outsourced studio.
Yikes.
Outer Worlds, actually. Marvel's Avengers, Call of Duty Warzone, Grounded, Destroy All Humans, Medal of Honor Above and Beyond, Outriders, Final Fantasy 12, The Zodiac Age, Dark Souls Remastered, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Bioshock The Collection, XCOM 2 The Collection, Horizon Zero Dawn, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, Vader Immortal, a Star Wars VR series. Tell me if you've recognized any of these titles.
It's a little indie company.
They obviously were not the main developer on these games because these all come from lots of different developers, but they're a contracted third party that probably does something for each of them. So they've got a pedigree. You could say that most of these games were successful in one way or another at some point.
You could say that.
That kind of leans into like, hey, I mean, they have been attached to all these things that did come out and did pretty well. They're might be a decent chance that is real at that point then.
I mean, that's
if they got some like tiny studio that you never heard of, or like what the Grand Theft Auto like Rockstar did, they got their mobile team to do their remaster, then maybe I could be like it,
So here's the text from that same page. It says, "We have the ability to build a product or desired parts of it from the ground up for our clients simply by analyzing and internalizing the IP provided by them. So we take your ideas and we figure out what we need to do in order to match what you're doing." And then the final paragraph says, "Do you have an exciting project that needs just a bit more technical firepower to achieve your grandest visions? With our expertise and extensive experience with AAA games, Virtuous is always ready to assist." This is exactly what they do. So it makes sense that this would be the kind of studio they would reach out to do a remake or a remaster for Oblivion.
That scares me because that does make it a lot more likely.
And then also, like, them, if they do push through and this is a remaster / remake or whatnot, Starfield didn't get the best of numbers when it came out. It didn't blow up like Skyrim did.
Man, that's putting it nicely.
This is also, I know, this would definitely help Bethesda in the long run before like ES6 comes out.
I think if you look at the cadence of releases and trying to keep things top of mind, especially with Skyrim being as old as it is now before we're even getting to get again Elder Scrolls 6, if you put out an Oblivion remake a few years before Elder Scrolls 6 comes out, that keeps people going. And they've been working on making games like Skyrim and Fallout 4 much more moddable so that creators can add their mods to it using their built-in services. If you were to add that to Oblivion, now you have those features for Oblivion. That becomes a secondary cash cow for them. And it keeps people coming back and playing it and playing the mods until Elder Scrolls 6 comes out. And then they ramp that stuff up through the roof. And now they're back in the good graces of their fans because they had a hit with a remake. And now people are ready for Elder Scrolls 6. And I'm not saying it will definitely work that way, but what I am saying is from a pitch perspective in a corporation, that makes sense as an angle to reach that goal.
I almost feel bad because I feel like my initial thoughts have just like redirected our thoughts on this entire conversation more than
it's fine.
Anything.
It's fine. We'll spend the second half talking about what we want in the actual thing.
And that's just it. I don't really want to hog anymore with this, but the only thing is I feel like that's where I totally understand what you're saying. And I would disagree that that's going to be anything along the result they're going to get, and I think they know that. Oblivion is straight up like the least modded of the, like Morrowind has a bigger mod community. Right. This is a weird choice if you're going to pick.
But imagine a version of it that is more moddable and has better graphics, better than Skyrim. And now you have features a mod system that works in a much more similar way to the way Elder Scrolls 6 does, because it would make sense to kind of draw that connection, use the knowledge you gained from Starfield, build it into this as a test bed for Elder Scrolls 6, and now you've got a path for modders to get prepared for Elder Scrolls 6 without being stuck in Skyrim.
Right. No. And I do understand this, and I'm going to preface my final thought to this with, I actually really love Oblivion and I had tons of fun with it. The things people remember the most about Oblivion are stupid potato faces and the fact that there's five voice actors.
That's exactly what I planned on talking about.
Weird swing. With a remaster/remake,
they can redo the dialogue.
That's true.
Hold on. Now they have nine voice actors.
If they're going to redo the dialogue, they need to redo the line where the woman talks about doing the break-in of like the palaces. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait, let me do that one again.
Right.
Can you believe that the Imperial Library and
to Hirsine's point, they're remembered more, actually, I feel, for their DLC than the game itself, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because the Shivering Isles is like, great.
The memories of the potato faces is what makes people want to join the Sky Oblivion project. Like those bad memories of Oblivion is what makes people want. Like, I remember the reason I joined the Sky Oblivion is I was like, I want to go back and play Sky Oblivion or play Oblivion and like, you know, live that experience. And I started up, looked at all the characters. The scenery was beautiful. The gameplay was very fine. And the characters, I just looked at them and was like, okay, I heard there was a project that's going to be making a better version of this. Let's go to that instead of doing this.
Yeah. Also the best menu interface in the series, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. As soon as I got out of the sewers and I saw like all of the NPCs, I literally turned the game off and joined Sky Oblivion.
Realized there were NPCs in the sewers too, right?
Well, yeah, but I was like, it's going to get better, right? And then I got out and it didn't get better. It got worse. I saw all of it. And I hope, oh no.
I hope Sky Oblivion still has the ability to move all of the sliders just exactly as far as you could originally. So even if you start with a non-potato face and there's some like presets that are non-potato-y, you can like, you make your face like super stretched out and skinny. Or, like there's some, like the extremes of that were so good. But here, this is a great transition. Let's move from the speculation of like, is this even a thing? What's going on with Sky Oblivion? Also to whether it's the remake or Sky Oblivion, what improvements do we want to see? We don't want potato faces. We want more than five voice actors. What else? What else do you all want?
Better combat.
But, so what makes combat better? Because the combat in Oblivion is is only like a very small step down from Skyrim, which still isn't that dynamic or interesting.
Fair.
What would you want in it to make it better?
That's a good question.
Like,
I don't know.
Dodge commands, like parries dodge instead commands of just holding nice. A shield in front of you, or
I mean, you like, know, I'm
feedback when you hit things.
RPGs.
Yeah, so let's think about some of the mods. Some of the mods that have come out for like combat for Skyrim have added things like, you know, when you actually hit something, it kind of slows console, down.
I don't get those.
I don't know if you've look them up sometime. There's stuff that like if you swing a sword and it makes contact with an enemy, it like hits and then moves. And
that's
more
cheesy
weight.
Term visceral, but like you right. want like weight to what you're doing as opposed to it being kind of floaty. It's a big problem that people have with the ESO is because it feels honestly probably one of the more floaty of all of the games. It's got a very loose feel to it, which I know that's like a big turnoff for a lot of people. They're like, yeah, I like the game, but they're like,
it's an MMO. It's
like there's not a lot of impact.
That's the only way it works.
Yeah.
At least with like Skyrim, when you hit someone's shield, you like feel and hear the thunk, whereas like in ESO, mm-hmm.
I'm thinking like Witcher 3 combat.
So like lots of rolling,
I mean, not as necessary like, rolling, but like parrying. When you hit a shield, you actually get knocked back.
Like it bounces off.
Yeah.
Instead of just like
that in the base game, so it shouldn't be hard to just accentuate that.
Mm-hmm.
No more just step in, step out, step in, step out.
Right. Instead of having step in, step out, you just have an actual dodge button or something would be nice.
Right. So you're instead of just doing like a salsa in place while you swing the sword, you're...
Because that's literally what I have to do when I play Skyrim. I'm either going in and out or side to side or a little bit of both, alternating, you know, head on a swivel.
I'd also like decent magic builds because like they've never felt like they do anything, even if like I'm all on like making builds on my games, like even if you highly focus into magic on like Oblivion, by the end of the game you're better off just picking up a weapon.
So you're saying bring back spell crafting and just break the game.
Yes. I was about to say
saying break.
No, I am. Well, I am saying one. Do not fix broken mechanics like letting me have spell crafting.
Oh, I love
crafting.
It.
Like that's considered like a negative to so many people. I was like, cool, then don't do it. Like that's one of my favorite things is how open things are in these games. You can find these weird workarounds. Like, and if it ruins the experience for you, that's okay. Sure, I get that because I went up all the Oblivion Towers basically with 140% chameleon, and it was more effective than literally being invisible. But you don't have to do that. Like,
I used an option. On touch, it drains their health and whatever stat is associated with
yes
that. So it just instantly kills them the second
yes I know what you're talking about. It's like it acted like Mehrunes Razor basically, except there was not that 1% chance it would come back and take your own soul.
So would you want to see more spells? Would you want to see revisions to the spells? Would you want to see more of the way that casting works in Skyrim, where you equip things to hand? Or would you still want just like that you fight, but then you can just cast something else with a different button?
I like, so the dual hand thing is neat with Skyrim, where you could have like a spell in one hand. I actually liked the fact that while I was sword fighting, I could just hit my right bumper and like mid sword swing, I'm like, also a fireball in your face, back to hitting you with my sword. Like, I actually liked that.
Or hold the healing spell while you're whacking.
Yeah.
I always hold a healing spell when I whack.
Right.
That freaking frost troll.
Yeah, it took me a little bit, honestly, to get used to the weird pausing effect. I also liked that Oblivion was that weird half step to some of the old stuff, like to kill the ghosts, you needed silver still.
Right. Yeah.
I threw that out. Like,
yeah, I love that stuff.
Some of that stuff
because it was confusing until you figured it out, and then you felt like, oh no, I get it now.
I see, right?
I get exactly. It.
Vampirism could be problematic.
Yeah.
Like my first Oblivion playthrough, I got vampirism, and I got stuck on a mountain at sunrise, and like, well, I'm dead. Yeah,
yeah.
I had to start over. I had no autosaves anywhere nearby.
I love the vampirism in Oblivion because of how it introduces vampirism. Mm-hmm. Now, the middle part, they can change, but the beginning part, I don't want them to change. The whole, like, having the nightmare sequence, yes, having the narration, that's beautiful. And if anything, we should get more of that, not less of that. But the whole, like, oh, you will die if you touch the sun. Yeah, maybe for the player's sense of ease, you could maybe tone it down, if not remove it.
No, kick it.
But that's a feature hardcore mode.
Yeah. Yeah. Tie it to a difficulty level.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that. You could do that. All right. So I like these ideas. These are fun ideas. What about one of the features? What about the features that they wanted to do more with, but they didn't, like the arena? Like, the original plans were for there to be different arenas in different cities and for that to be kind of its own quest line with sort of faction kind of thing, rather than just like one arena and you go through a bunch of fights and then you're done.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you ever wish you could ask your data anything at any time? How are sales this quarter? How is a specific marketing campaign performing? How is the overall health of the business? With Domo's AI and data products platform, you can. Domo lets your team channel AI and data quickly, securely, and innovatively to deliver measurable insights wherever and whenever you need them. Anyone on your team can use Domo to prepare, analyze, visualize, automate, and distribute data amplified by AI. Domo goes beyond productivity. It's designed to transform your processes and drive real growth, powered by trust, flexibility, and years of expertise in data and AI innovation. Data is hard. Domo is easy. Learn how Domo can help you make smarter moves faster at ai.domo.com. That's ai.domo.com.
Would you want something?
So you basically just become Gladiator.
Yeah, like if you want to do the Gladiator,
like,
and
be like a literal Gladiator quest line, I would be fine, because I think the arena quest line is really cool. Yes. But if they were able to have it be a little more expansive other than just the one arena, that would, I feel like that would make it more epic, and you wouldn't have to change the story. The story was cool enough on its own. You could just make the experience better. That would be really cool if they could do that.
I also like
having the one arena go into multiple arenas.
Sure.
Yeah, what if each arena,
like the alternate,
oh, go ahead. I'll try
the alternate ending to the final fight in the arena.
Oh, yes.
I thought that was maybe not the coolest quest, but I did like that was an option.
Yeah, I was going to say it had multiple choices in which you could deal with the final fight. Yeah.
What if there was a different, like, arena boss in each of the cities where there is an arena? And then that would unlock something
different
cool.
Adoring fans.
Different. You get another adoring fan for everyone.
There's a very
like seven at the end of the game.
Oh, that so would be. You have your own little posse
of adoring fans.
Yeah, you have this whole posse, and you're just running around with them, and they're all like, "You're so wonderful. You're the best. You're everywhere you go." And one of them is like blowing a trumpet when you enter, like whenever you load into a new room, he goes.
And they have their own section where they're cheering for you.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that would be so good. Okay,
that would be cool.
But what I was really thinking was like one arena has like a barbarian and you get some like really cool looking, I don't know, leather armor off of them. And then another arena, like their main gladiator, their boss gladiator is like a mage and you get some spell that you can't get any other way, or, you know, something like that. And then you use it as a way to kind of collect cool things and buff yourself the same way you would get like treasure at the end of a dungeon. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that definitely is better than the multiple adoring fans idea.
I want both.
So the adoring fans are just a perk on top of that.
What if all of the adoring fans are exactly the same character model, because they're all like not twins, obviously there'd be multiple of them, they're like sextuplets or something,
the exact same model but like just a different
slightly different hairstyle.
Yeah.
Right.
And you hear it in echoes by Azura, by Azura, by Azura. Just echoes.
Oh. Yeah, and they have little conversations between themselves.
Slightly different voices every time.
Right.
It's on a few slightly.
Yeah, very slightly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And slight pitch differences and performance differences between, and then they each refer to each other. And like the more you collect, the more they have these little conversations between each other. And some of them get along better than others.
Talking behind you.
Right. Right. And it's super annoying.
Wait, that was my voice. Oh, hold on. Sorry. I got them mixed up. Because yeah. That'll be in there. If it's Oblivion, you got to have something like that.
Right. Yeah. True. Yeah. Little callbacks to like, hey, this is funny because your voice changed all of a sudden. Okay. So, what else would you like to see? Like, what about some of people's favorite stuff? Like the Brotherhood, you know, the Dark Brotherhood quest line? Do you want anything
keep
changed
that
with
the
that?
Same because do not that change quest that. Was amazing.
Just leave it the same.
Yeah, I think for all of the quests, I don't think if you change it, then you're changing what people are looking forward to reliving.
What if you were to add more stuff at the ends of those quests, like more repeatable content, kind of like Skyrim does?
Walking on thin ice. Yes, you could add a lot of interesting like moments and depth to an already good story, but that could also end up making the whole quest reductive depending on how we ended it after all. Mm-hmm. So I would say it's too dangerous. Just don't fix what's not broken.
Yeah. Well, what I'm thinking is you leave the story quest the same, and when you get to the end of that, you then can do repeatable stuff that doesn't mess with any of the rest.
Oh,
of
sure. Like just a radiant quest.
Like
line
radiant
afterwards.
Quest. Like they take the radiant quest line idea from Skyrim. They stick it in at the end of those quests. So like, if you want to just keep murdering people, you can do that. Like keep on going on these other quests. Like something like that.
I think that would have to be like automatic, like because we're already used to Skyrim. So if you give us anything other than that, it's like, where's my radiant quest?
Right.
You just kind of go into the expectation of that.
Right. Right.
Something else that was mentioned earlier in chat, which is kind of interesting because it was kind of referred to as maybe an overhaul to skills and leveling, whereas mm-hmm. I actually like the skills and leveling more in the older games, where it had the attributes of like strength and willpower and agility and stuff like that. And that was kind of done away with it was straight up done away with in Skyrim, and it's different in ESO. It's kind of like a mix between them. You don't have the agility and stuff like that, but like it's got some traces of stuff because you have classes, but they're in a different way. I kind of liked it. The thing was, it's very, very number crunchy to minimax in that, where it was like, you know, if you have five, or what was it? I believe it's if you have, for every two skills of a governing attribute that you level, you get a plus one modifier to that in your level up skill tree, but you can't affect luck. So at bare minimum, you can only get one level per luck. And I remember, this is the nerdiest garbage ever, but I was like, I need to get all of these to 100. And in the end, it was like, I had to pre-plan how I would level when I would get to think.
Yeah.
That is something most people are not going to do. And they're like, what is the matter with you? But like, I love
that.
Jump six times.
So,
yes.
I need seven more jumps in order to control where I level. Right.
I will say with like, if they go with a remake rather than a remaster, I can see them changing the leveling system. Mm-hmm. I can see them keeping all the skills and everything, but like
but
with streamlining the leveling system because everybody is so used to Skyrim after
I think I have a streamlined solution that kind of takes a happy medium of both. Is you get Skyrim's leveling system where you can kind of pick whatever skills you want to level, but then it will, instead of having you choose a class like you do in Oblivion at the beginning, and that determines what skills you're good at and what skills you're not good at, you do the inverse. You pick the skills you want to be good at, and then the game looks at the skills you have leveled and gives you a list of eligible classes that you would fit the description for, and you get to select your class as you progress, and you get slight perks and bonuses depending on the class you choose that fit the skills you were already working on.
That's
and if you start working on other skills, then you can change your class as you change your character.
Mm. That's an interesting idea.
Dual class, being able to adjust
that way, it's less number crunchy. You don't have to plan from the beginning and invest like Lotus is saying, because that's what you had to do in Oblivion. If you didn't do that, your character was a mess.
Yeah, my buddy finally got into it, and I had to tell him after probably a couple weeks of him playing that, hey man, you should probably check what you're leveling. And he eventually hit the point he couldn't do anything anymore.
Well, yeah, there's a, I guess, that bleeds right into how about the scaled enemies, because that I feel is pretty contentious. I don't mind things getting more difficult or whatever, but I also remember because I was so particular with how I would min-max when I would level and stuff, I think at about, I don't know, probably about hour 20. I mean, it's years ago that I'm trying to remember. It wasn't that deep into the game. I was like, cool, why does everybody have ebony armor and weapons and nothing else in the game? And right. It's because I had capped it out. The game didn't know what to do with me anymore. Yeah. I was like, well, everybody needs Daedric or ebony because you're already
everyone so
god status. Right. So it's yeah. the only thing the game could ever. So I remember,
I do like new monsters showing up.
Well, that was the problem. Yeah. That part I out-leveled. Like, it was like, right. people were telling me it was like
Daedra. Well,
that's the thing.
Right?
People were like, oh, yeah, there's also like wolves and stuff. I'm like, the hell are you talking about? I've never seen a wolf. And it's like, I went right past it because I was a psycho. And we was like, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it's just like turbo bears and stuff like that or whatever I would fight at the time. So.
Yeah.
So there's a guaranteed unicorn if you ever needed to fight that.
That's true.
I think the fix to that is actually pretty easy because the coding on that, as far as I understand, is pretty simple, where you can just have your enemies be high leveled or low leveled and your encounters be based on your level or not be based on your level. Right. And that could be a setting in the game. So like the remaster says, which one do you want? Because I don't think it's very difficult to code both.
Yeah, no, right. I think that's manageable. I just thought it was weird that you could very quickly run out of any enemy diversity once you hit top level.
Right. Sure. Or if you just keep putting smaller enemies in on occasion, I think that helps fix it too. So like you're more likely as you get higher level to run into higher enemies, but sometimes you still run into wolves. That's fine. You
know, wolves like, don't stand a chance, but right, you they still don't stand a chance,
but it makes sense that they're in the world still, you know, like...
Hmm.
Like, I like that idea. So here, what about, so talking about leveling, what about the using the skill to make it level, to get better at it thing? And we've got some comments in here. Ghost Tola says, I miss tying a rubber band to the controller before bed so I could swim against a wall all night and raise my athletics. Hercene says, I used to use a toothpick. Do you like the idea of like the more you use something, the more you level it?
Because one of my favorite things about this series.
Yeah, that's always been, well, not that hasn't always been the case, but that's been the case since for two. Oblivion and...
Yeah, I was going to say, anything after Arena.
Well, it was adjusted a bit for Skyrim. It's not exactly the same system. They've kind
it's
of...
It's not, but no the concept is the same.
Yeah, the concept is the same, and I guess I should take that back. It's not... It also wasn't in Shadowkeep, but...
Yeah,
true.
You offended one other person.
Yeah, I know. It was just me with a different screen name.
But in Skyrim is just streamlined for a more general audience,
right?
I mean, it's still Arena, and I mean, it's really just Arena and Shadowkeep, where it was like you got straight experience points when you did stuff.
Whereas it's part of the beauty of the game. It's like, that's again, we don't want to fix the quest because there's nothing to fix. We don't want to fix the experience gain because there's nothing to fix. That's what makes us love this series, is those unique things about them.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I just wanted to pitch it as an idea, just to get it.
I wish they would add back all the different sub things, though. Like, I know that Oblivion's way more streamlined than Morrowind was.
Yeah.
But I miss things like athletics and acrobatics. Like, I used to max out my acrobatics and do the glitch to keep the boots of Springhill Jack. That way I could just jump onto rooftops.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I mean, that's one of the things that's different between Oblivion and Skyrim, is because you don't have those other, I don't know, minor... things that you can
upgrade.
Major
and minor skills. It was just skills,
right? And so you can get better at one-handed by using a one-handed sword, and it keeps getting better because you use it more, but running and jumping doesn't, you know, like there are certain things that you do all the time that just don't improve.
Each game they've limited, where it's, you know, it blunt weapons. Well, originally it was like long sword, short sword, and it's like, okay, now it's bladed weapon,
one-handed like weapon, two-handed weapon.
One-handed weapon.
Right. Like, do you think having a core mechanic of the game be a leveling feature, where especially in Oblivion, where when you level something, that limits how much you can level something else? That is bad design. Sorry, yes. Oblivion. Love you, yeah. But yeah. That is bad design.
I think you open it up. I think you open it up so that you can continue leveling other stuff. I don't think yeah. There's a problem.
As counterpoint, though, if you go to prison for an extended period of time, your skills will degrade, which means you can level them up more and max out your attributes.
Yeah, that was actually how I had to end up getting up to 100
war crimes.
That's actually how I had to get to luck 100, because I capped out before and I was like, gotta spend some time in jail.
Oh yeah, trust me, I know.
But
I find someone ways who, to break things.
I've done the test playthrough on Skyrim where I try to do as much of the game without leveling any skill, and that is painful in Skyrim but impossible in Oblivion, because there's no way you can progress a game without leveling a feature or skill. Like, do you
have, well, walking, like, even walking to your other quest in Oblivion would get you athletics. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't have to sprint.
Yeah. Yeah, jumping would get it more, but...
Yeah.
So when I first played Oblivion, I didn't know how to level up, so I was just going through the game, and I was like, oh...
Tired.
Okay.
Really tired. Very far.
I just never sleep.
I was like, oh, I guess I can add that. I'll go sleep, and then... Boom, I was like, you've leveled up. And I was like, I went from 1 to like 16.
And then like, Lucian, oh, Lucian LeChance pops up because yeah. You hadn't slept the whole time. I was like, oh yeah, I did merge someone.
So let's bring that up. Should you keep the sleeping to level thing?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it too.
Just make it, it's weird. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I think
players know that's how you level up.
Yeah, maybe the game should be a little more clear about it, I guess. I don't remember specifically if it was not clear about it.
Well, like, modern games still do that.
Level up.
Yeah, I was going to say, did it teach you that? I feel like it taught you that in the sewers, but...
No, it mentions once you get enough XP or enough levels of the major skills, it'll pop up in the top right corner.
Okay.
You have reached some threshold, sleep to... advance your level.
I also enjoyed the inspirational quotes that you got when you leveled up. I like how the UESP puts it on their social media every now and then. Like, you've ascended this. You have a new understanding of the world around you. It's like, wow, I really do. This is great.
I think that's an evergreen concept of long resting to level up. You still see that in games today. You've seen that in games from the 90s. You've seen it throughout all of video game history. I don't think that needs to be taken away.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement. Like, if it adds to the immersion of the game and it's something that they don't do in Skyrim, keep it. Absolutely.
I was disappointed that it's off topic, but Baldur's Gate 3 did not include that, and I was like, that's a very D&D thing that you level up after a long rest. What are you doing? Why would you take that out? So yeah. I don't know. I think it's definitely always a flavor win to include that kind of mechanic.
Right. Okay, so outside of all of these things, like, let's go into that immersive side of it. Are there things that you would want them to add into the game to even make it more immersive?
Yes. Do not want to hear the NPCs say hello, give some weird random fact, and say goodbye.
Okay. I'm split on that one.
I don't know. That I think that's like, that it's, has to be in there.
That feels like a Bethesda staple.
It needs to be an option, because after a certain... I played a ton of Oblivion, which is why I'm probably over it. Like, a ton of Oblivion. I have several characters.
I have bad news for the Sky Oblivion project.
Yeah. One of the reasons why...
All of the audio.
One of the reasons why I stopped playing Oblivion is because of the limited voice lines. The fact that, like, every orc has the same voice. Or every time you meet a guard, it's Wes Johnson. You know, I'm just like, oh, it's the same person in every town. Yeah.
And did you guys see about what happened to him recently?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring it up right now, but we should.
Yeah, fortunately, he's doing better now. Shout out to Wes. Wes had a health emergency. He's in the hospital. He's doing better now. He put out a video today thanking everybody who contributed to his GoFundMe. A lot of people chipped in, and he's doing a lot better.
One person chipped in huge, like 20,000.
Right, like a ton. Oh, and his family was very worried about him. He was in a coma for a little while, but he's actually doing a lot better now. And enough to even record a video and say thank you to everybody. So I'm sure that GoFundMe is still available. You can go search it. In fact, if I find it before I post the episode, I'll put it in the show notes and you guys can contribute if you'd like. Wes, thinking about you. Hope you're doing all right, man.
Wes is one of the things that makes me nostalgic about Oblivion. I love Oblivion, and he is about two-thirds criminal of the characters.
Yeah. So, all right. So what other things would you want to add to immersion? Anything else? Or anything else just like, I mean, we're getting close to the end of the episode. Anything else just flat out you'd be like, okay, they really, I mean, I think we can assume include the DLC with just the game. Just don't even separate.
It needs to be a complete package.
It's a complete package. Questions.
It's complete. Yeah. Like right. you have horse armor.
That needs
extra
to be separate.
Horse armor. Just extra the horse
but
armor.
What about more types of horses?
It still charges.
What about
you.
What about
I want to be able to put the horse armor on the unicorn.
The horse armor becomes a pre-order bonus.
Beautiful.
It still costs money to include.
You got to pay per use, 99 cents for every horse.
99 Microsoft points. Remember those?
Yeah.
Well, what if, like with ESO, you have all these different kinds of mounts. What if you could find a Gwar down in the southern parts of the map, which are really close to, you know, play, like the swamps or the north, more north?
I feel like everybody's just going to want to eat it on this show.
What about
the Gwar?
Them adding house building?
Building, yes.
Oh.
Well, you got to build that mage's tower, so it'd be cool if they could expand on that.
They took that out a while back, at least for console.
Really?
It wasn't available for a long time on Xbox. They may have recently added it back. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It would be in the store. You could hit download and it would say it's not available.
Weird.
That's bizarre. I loved that tower. The thing was great because it had the teleporters on the roof. Like you could go to the different mages.
Spellcraft there. As soon as you get into the game, you didn't have to go through the mages guild.
It had like a garden down in the basement too that gave you alchemy ingredients, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And yeah, you could summon like Atronach
fight. Oh, man, that thing's great.
Yeah. I do think it would be really funny if Skyblivion, because Skyblivion is going to be like a free project that's going to be available. It'd be really funny if they had a free version and then they had a $2.50 version that included horse armor.
I would probably buy it just for the...
I bet a lot of people would. Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely do that.
Right. All right. So I've got two more questions and they're very similar. When you go into a lot of the dungeons, some of the parts of the dungeons are kind of copy pasted, right? Like there's a lack of diversity in certain aspects.
Yeah,
certain
because dungeons the one dude who had to make all 112 dungeons,
tunnels, and like the caves and things like that. Would you want those things to be expanded or changed or more unique for each one, and or places like cities? Would you want to see things expand in the city? So for example, if you're in the Imperial City, there are certain buildings you just can't go in, but it also feels kind of empty because it's supposed to be this massive city, but like only 3 dozen people live there. You know, would you want to see like more NPCs walking around, buildings that you go into that you couldn't go into before, or maybe even extended homesteads around the outside walls of the city, or, you know, those kinds of expansions? So kind of a 2-for-1 question. Do you want to see any of that stuff expanded out?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with the remaster, if they do add, they combine it with Unreal with the old system, I mean, they would definitely have the power to even easily put more NPCs.
Yeah. Hersine in chat says he wants an accurate scale Imperial City.
That's what I was about to get to is
that
even if they do add to it, like, it's still, in regards to what it's supposed to be, still going to feel small.
Sure.
But yes, right. I would love
feel
more
a
stuff.
More.
But like, you could push it like, a little further.
There's a lot of like weird things. Like there's vampire plants in like some dude's basement in the Imperial City. I want more like little weird things.
Yeah.
But I think the dungeons in Oblivion were actually really dynamic. They were repetitive, but they were dynamic. You had like these traps and like the goblins were waiting for you at certain angles because they were trapping you. And it felt clever. It was like, oh, you have to actually plan ahead of these. You can't just walk in blind and hope it goes well, because otherwise you're probably going to get smacked. So I really like that. And they could have technically just like made them a little bit more dynamic, a little bit more interesting, and kept the repetitiveness. And I'd probably be okay with that. Fortunately, I know with Skyblivion, we're getting better than that. They are making every cave unique.
Yeah.
They've done the work. So
do you know we're already getting our wish the DLCs? There. Are they doing the DLCs, or is that like
probably
an additional
not.
Thing? Probably.
I think he said someone else can pick it up from there or something like that.
Understandable.
It's a whole different set of texture work and map layout and all sorts of things. Enemy
He's
designs.
Like, maybe if I'm up for it afterwards, but right now, just focusing on what's ahead.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
He's got everyone's support. I'm pretty sure people would love that just in the future if that ever did become a thing.
I know in like Skyrim, there's that Valheim Towers is one of my favorite towers to like fight bandits in, and it's the same every single time. The bandits are hiding in the exact same spots, but it's always such a really like dynamic fight, and you're always like are hiding around corners and shoving people off the ledge, and you have to do these really fun tricks. I never get tired of fighting that bridge and fighting those in those towers, and I feel like you could do the same with like Oblivion Caves and stuff like that. You could just have them be really interesting, even if it's the same one over and over. It can just be good enough where that's okay.
Cool. All right. Well,
I'm excited to see the ending of the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. New graphics. Yeah.
That was a beautiful ending.
The big ending. Yeah. That'd be fun.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're at the end of the show. This is a whole bunch of fun ideas. I have a feeling. We don't even know if this even exists, but if it does, it might hit some of these things. It may not do other things. I hope it's, you know, high quality and it's enjoyable if it does exist, and we can all just enjoy jumping back into Oblivion for the first time in a long time. That would be great.
I'd be happy to be wrong in this situation.
And if it isn't, if the remake isn't a thing, Skyblivion is still a thing. They're still looking for volunteers. Yeah. Absolutely go help them out if you want to help them get past the finish line. The goal is by the end of the year. So with more help, they're more likely to hit that. So
if the remaster is a thing, then there's a more likelihood of Bethesda Legal just reaching out to the Skyblivion project and saying, hey, we changed your mind. We're not going to let you release this.
I don't know that they would do that, because it would be better to have a competitor to compare to than the bad publicity.
That more the fact
that's too much ill will for them to take on.
But like, so is Skyblivion not making a profit?
We're going to do what you guys have been working on, and we're going to do it real quick in front of you and just release it real quick before you get yours out. That's a kick in the shorts. Like,
I don't think that's as bad, because that's just company doing company things. To shut it down is taking it to another level.
It also may... Here's the other thought here. It's the, and I mentioned this to Lotus the other day when we were talking about this. It's the Starbucks on both sides of the road, you know, in a city somewhere. Advertising for one actually advertises for both. So if this Oblivion remake is a thing, more people will have Oblivion on their minds, which means more people will realize, oh, there's this Skyblivion thing also, which means more people are going to then check it out to see how it's similar or different, which means that that project is going to get way more downloads than it would otherwise. Like, that's actually how the marketing of that will shake
out. It's more of a win-win, honestly.
It really does. Yeah. It seems counterintuitive until you actually look around the data of the way that kind of stuff works, and it actually does. It's the reason why you have two gas stations on a corner, is because they actually reinforce traffic to both of them, and it ends up being more traffic than double.
But if they're willing to cross one line, it worries me what other lines they are willing to keep crossing. Yeah. And so you give them an inch, they take a mile. I get paranoid when I see that stuff. So I would just hope that it's not real and it's never happening and Skyblivion's the way. that's my ideal scenario.
I mean, with what you said about advertising for both, I mean, on top of that, that can create a scenario where you're finding issues in both of them. It's like, hey, how did you manage to get around this thing? Or how'd you get around that thing? They could, in theory, make each other better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, hey,
if they were working together throughout the process. But it seems like that's already out of the question.
Yeah.
Well, but it also could work out for future projects, because then you have the attention of like the developers on somebody else who solved a problem that maybe you didn't. And then that person gets hired. Yeah. And works for the team now.
Or there's going to be changes. It's not going to straight up be Oblivion on either side. So like, hey, we liked it in the Skyblivion. Maybe the actual remake can get this, or vice versa. Like, hey, they added it over there.
Yeah.
Lotus has to go. Here. Bye, Lotus.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just noticed the text.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Lotus has to go. He's got baby duty. All right, guys.
Sorry, I didn't mean to prolong that. Well, I just had a final note that.
It's fine. All right, well, let's wrap this up and let's go through. Thank you, everybody, for being here. If there's something you want to shout out and put into the world, please do that. I'm not going to use a break to do this, but we do have two new patrons before we get to the goodbyes. Earl C. and Major Kraken or Kraken, Kraken, probably Kraken. Thank you for joining us on the Patreon. And then also shout out to our Daedric Princes, Blinding Vision, Hircine, Kiracy, and Peter R. Thank you so much. And to all 133 of our paying patrons, thank you so much. And there's even more free patrons. And I would highly recommend go to patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast and just join for free. You'll get notifications for if we're taking a week off. Plus, we've got some giveaway ideas for people on the Patreon, whether you are a paying person or a free person. So the more free people are on there, the more chances people have to, you know, win stuff. So go check that out. Thank you for your support. Also, you can rate the show on Spotify or on Apple. If you leave a review on Apple with 5 stars, we'll read it out on a future episode. We don't have any new ones this week, but we'll read that out. Also, the YouTube videos are doing really well. The YouTube version of this continues to grow. And so, hi, YouTube. Thanks for being here. If you enjoyed the episode, give us a thumbs up and comment. Let us know your thoughts about Oblivion. We want to hear everybody's perspective. And thanks, everybody, for being here. But let's wrap this up. Ben, do you have any final thoughts, any things you want to throw out into the world? I know you do a bunch of shows.
Well, I know. Yeah, I have a bunch of things to throw out in the world. Yeah, but no, I don't have any really final thoughts. I think I've said my piece of Oblivion. But you can catch me on all 5 of my shows: Holocron History, Star Wars Canon vs. Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, the Gundam Lorecast, the Wizarding World Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast. So
he's a little busy.
I'm a bit busy.
5?
I do 5.
Dude.
And I have people asking me to do more. So that's too much. If I can make this full time like Tom, then maybe. My God.
You get one for every day of the week. You'll just get it.
And
up to
on
7.
Top of that, you know, looking to possibly doing more, getting into acting classes more often. So
nice.
Fun
nice.
Stuff there.
Yeah, good luck with that. Go check out Ben's shows. You can find links on robotsradio.net, or just if you heard a name that you're like, oh, that sounds like a cool thing, just look it up on whatever podcatcher. You'll find it. Thanks, Ben. All right, Rob, thanks for contributing some insight into this conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having me as always. I just checked and last month was my 4-year anniversary as a patron on the show.
That's so cool. Well, thank you for the support for 4 years.
Yeah. I know. I you better make it worthwhile. No. no, but yeah, thank you for having me. Always shout out the Sky Oblivion Project. So I'll shout it out again, even though I obviously have been doing that the whole episode. Please go check it out. Whether you want to just see what the updates are, or if you want to help finish it. Otherwise, you can find me on the Robots Discord, Rob the Princess, and you can follow me on Blue Sky. I don't really post much on there. In fact, I'm mostly getting in like more Magic the Gathering circles on there now. I'm kind of like switching. I'm a trader, I know, but I'm still like following all the Elder Scrolls peeps as well. So that's where you can find me. That's
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for being here. Blinding Vision. You got anything you want to throw out into the world, let people know about? Or have versions of you open the door behind you again and just keep coming in and out of the room like on that other one?
No, I think I'm going to do maybe like a bring myself a cup of tea or something next time.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
I don't do too much, but I mean, if anyone wants to do anything, I'm Blinding Vision on everything, anywhere almost. I'm probably going to go play Oblivion after this.
Nice.
Man, I love Oblivion so much. I was excited to do this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to these projects. I hope both of them are a thing, but we'll see. Thanks for being here. And then Falcon with the box on. You're wrapping it up for us. What do you got?
So I don't want to like ruin the flow of the show, but I've mentioned on episodes before, I don't like Oblivion at all.
That's fair.
The only one
That's
worse fair. Than Oblivion is Redguard.
Wow. Well, at least it's not worse than Redguard.
No, not worse than Redguard. That would be impressive. I've had more fun with Battlespire in Arena than Oblivion.
Wow.
Did you play Shadowkey?
I've not played Shadowkey. I got to figure that out.
Hold up. Oh, you haven't? Okay.
I have not. I got to figure this out.
And Dawnstar and all the other hits.
Yeah, those like 3 on the end gauge. So I'm going to like, you know, assuming they're both happening, whichever one feels less like Oblivion is what I want. It's a really awkward middle ground of RPG of like Morrowind and older, and action game of Skyrim, and it's just not pleasing for me to play.
You feel like you have 2 feet, like each foot in a different world, but it's not.
Yes, really it's not really doing either that great for me.
I gotcha. Well, hey,
then a remaster would solve that for you.
Possibly.
Yes, that's the hope.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll have to see. And this will be fun to like revisit this in the future and see like, okay, well, did you like this one better than the original? Like, did it actually work for you? Mm-hmm. And it's cool to have all these different opinions. Like, you can like it, you cannot. Like, you can hope that the remake's a thing, you cannot hope that it's a thing. Like, everybody has legitimate reasons for feeling the way they do. And it's really cool to just get everyone together and hear all the different perspectives. So thanks for being here and being a part of it. Chat, thank you for joining us. And I'd normally check in with Lotus, but he had to go early. So thanks for being here, everybody.
Random page.
That's true. We got to wrap this up with a random page. Before we do random page, go check out robotsradio.net for my other shows. I do the Fallout Lorecast and the Lord of the Rings Lorecast also. And there's a bunch of other shows from other hosts like Ben and a bunch of other people. So go check that out. But here we go. Random page. I hit the random button until I got something from Oblivion. So it's not fully random, but it's still random for Oblivion. So I hope that makes sense. This is Oblivion. It's a character. It's under people. Rancid Radishra is a Khajiit beggar living in Leowin. Her bedroll and food bag can be found in the southwestern corner of the city. You may contract the witless pox and blood lung diseases should you fight her. It goes on and explains like her daily routine, where she goes, what her attire is, all of these things. And of course, she's got like that weird Khajiit like lioness kind of face from Oblivion. I'm sure you can picture it in your head. She's a level 2 character. Her class is Commoner. She has 24 health, 102 magicka, responsibility 25, and aggression 5. I think these are like inner statistics the game uses in order to determine how they respond to things. And then as part of the different factions, beggars, Leowin beggars, and Leowin. So there you go. That's
super real for her to be able to do poison damage long term in a fight.
Right. And her name is Rancid. That's so good. So sweet. Awesome stuff. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll be back next week. Lotus and I will be back next week talking about some other thing. I don't even remember what we have on the schedule, but it'll be cool. I promise. It'll be fun stuff. And until then, stay safe out there. And like I said before, comment, let us know, jump on the Discord, let us know your thoughts about Oblivion, what your hopes and dreams are, what your expectations are, and be part of the community. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games, lore, stories, community. Just press play.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.